Okay, and welcome back. Hour three. And we're on the regular telephone here until the power comes still out here at the studios. So we'll get through it. Generator ran out of fuel just in time to get the last year of the last hour done. So it was interesting. It was supposed to be. Mitchell Henderson is back with us tonight, as he is on most every Monday night, with lots to talk about. Mitch, I have to say that, in all seriousness, the issue of mRNA should be outlawed. It should not be allowed to be given to any human beings because it goes right into the DNA of the body and permanently, irrevocably changes it. And the spike protein is the deadliest protein you can imagine. So whoever is doing this now is dead set on killing off a lot of people. There's no argument about that. Now, will we get to nuclear war? Do we need to get to nuclear war to get rid of the people? I personally don't think so. I know there are many things involved here, and what we did last week on the program was introduce and present proof, irrevocable proof, that the nasal test, COVID test swabs were in all likelihood contaminated with the virus. So they didn't miss a chance that they had to get into the internal parts of hundreds of millions, maybe more, billions perhaps, of human bodies with these nasal swab tests. And then they sent them off to the PCA, PCR test for that, which is silly, but anyway, that's another story. So are we headed toward a nuclear war? What the hell's going on? And the big question, Mitch, is why has Putin refused to end the war with Ukraine? He could have mopped the floor with Ukraine. This thing's been going on 1,000 days now, practically. So my view is that the Jewish Zionist oligarchs in Russia don't want the war ended. And they certainly don't want Zelensky killed. He's still alive. And how are you fighting a war with somebody that has invaded your country in the Kursk area, Kursk region, when at home in Ukraine, the malls are open, the restaurants are open, traffic is flowing fine, the power's on, the water's on, all over big cities in Ukraine? That's no way to fight a war. Look at World War II, for Christ's sake, what we did to the German civilians. We destroyed and annihilated their cities. Their ability to support themselves, everything gone. Nothing's happening in Ukraine like that. Nothing. It's just weird, this whole thing. Anyway, welcome back, Mitch. Sorry about rambling.
No, it's okay. As a matter of fact, I'll start off with the foreign policy lies, okay? Because it goes right to that thing. Because I've noticed the lies in American media, I'm starting to see lies in the foreign media also. What the American press says about foreign policy are absolutely lies. What Russia says about their operations is propaganda for the Russian people. The same with Iran and China. Okay? So how can you tell? Their military operations are incremental and weak. They are trying to avoid World War III without giving anything up. Only Israel wants World War III, but they want it with the United States fully involved, okay? So let's look at Russia and Ukraine. Why doesn't Russia just go in and finish it? Question, what is the purpose of an army? The purpose of an army is to destroy the enemy army,
That's right.
What is Russia doing in Ukraine right now at low cost? Destroying the Ukrainian army. What is Russia doing in Kursk? They have Ukrainians in the kill box. They are destroying the Ukrainian army. What is Russia doing in Ukraine to NATO and the United States? They are making us use all of our ammunition. Why? Because soon they will be fighting NATO when NATO pushes too far. NATO needs lots of ammunition to go on the offensive.
Lots.
We will not move troops in for attack without overwhelming artillery fire support and overwhelming air support. The Russians know this. They know how we fight. China's saber-rattling in the South China Sea pulls U.S. firepower off to that theater of operations. It makes us divide our forces. It is bad to divide your forces. Keep in mind that Russia, China, and Iran have no intention of invading any other country. That means that they have internal lines of communication and logistical trains. It is the United States that intends to invade Russia and Iran and to back up Taiwan, which is actually recognized by the UN and under international law as Chinese territory. That means that the United States will have very long and vulnerable lines of communication and logistical trains across the Pacific and Atlantic oceans.
Yep.
This is why Russia has the largest submarine force in capabilities. That's 65 submarines. China has the largest in numbers, 70, followed by North Korea with 86, but those are all diesel boats, so they don't have equivalent power. The purpose of a submarine is to attack these lines of communication and logistical trains. It does not matter how many the U.S. has, because nobody will be attacking us with conventional forces. So it doesn't matter how many. The fact that China, Russia, and North Korea have the most submarines in the world, that tells you what they're all about. That's a defensive thing. That is not offense. You don't attack other countries with submarines. You attack lines of communication. You attack invaders with submarines. Okay? They're not going to invade, so it doesn't matter what we have submarines for.
I want to say one thing about the Russians.
Yes, go ahead.
Most of the, I guess, strategic subs are given, are being given the Poseidon torpedo, the tsunami torpedo, 2,000-foot tsunami.
Yes.
80% of Americans live within 10 miles of the coast or some weird, this is way the hell up there.
Pretty close. Yeah.
So these would be relatively easy ways to scrub the coast clean of American cities, industry, population centers. It's quite a weapon. Quite a weapon.
I want you to pay attention here, because this is something that I talked about previously. I talked about, in my whole career with the Army, I've always followed what the Department of Defense, like what their policy is, what their... Like, we had the air-land battle, then we had the air-sea battle. We always have these military strategies that we're going to use. Well, starting with this war of terrorism, we started a policy called littoral warfare, where what the government intends to do, and this is aimed not at foreign countries, it's aimed at our own country. What the government wants to do is gain control of coastal areas. That's what littoral means, littoral. It means coastal and riverine warfare. So all the major cities, all the major river port cities, they were going to control that, and then like an oil spot, just go out into the hinterland from there and impose their dictatorship on the American people, whatever. So you got to realize that Russia studies our military strategy very closely. They know how we fight, and they know what our policy is.
Oh, they have every bit of it in their computers, wargaming, you name it.
Yeah, so just think of this. What's great about the Poseidon torpedo from their point of view? Well, it obviously defeats any efforts at littoral warfare, because they're going to wipe it out. There won't be anything there for them to start to have this oil spot to spread into the hinterlands, okay? So NATO has 8 multinational battle groups, and this is 8 battalions, Jeff. 8 battalions.
That's it?
But see, they changed the name to 8 multinational battle groups to make it sound like it's something big. It's just a battalion. That's like 800 men. And these are arrayed against 520 Russian combat battalions. Realistically, we cannot invade Russia on the ground. Realistically, NATO cannot even defeat itself against a Russian invasion. You see, our leaders tell us all of the time that Russia threatens to invade NATO. Uh-huh. They know for a fact that Russia has no intention of invading NATO. How can you tell? We cannot defend NATO, and we have only made token efforts to appear like we are going to defend. 8 battalions to defend against 520. Be real. You know they're lying to you. You know that they know Russia's not going to attack them. That's why they just made these ghost battalions, these multinational battle groups, because it sounds like a big thing, okay?
I can't believe it. I didn't know they had only 8 battalions. That's astonishing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now these are what we have sent over there and organized in order to counter Russia's threat. Now, of course, the Polish army, they have like 19 brigades, combat brigades. So each of those countries has some combat brigades. But I got to tell you right now that Poland's probably the biggest with 19 brigades. 19 brigades, still we're talking about no more than 60 battalions against 520, okay? So uh-huh. That won't even stop the Russians, realistically, okay?
No.
So what if Russia did invade NATO? NATO would have no choice but to go nuclear. What if Russia was in danger of losing Ukraine?
They have nothing else.
They have no choice but to go nuclear. It's a battle of lies, okay? The only thing is Russia really truly has a large army, a large modern nuclear force, okay? What does Russia want to save its forces for? What are they saving it for? For a war in the Middle East. Russia and Azerbaijan just became friends last week. Now Russia can send supplies by land to Iran. This is a major change that has not garnered any attention at all because, they don't want you to focus on the truth. They don't want you to think strategically. They don't want you to think about the implications of what's going on. Also, Georgia has kind of gotten close to Russia, too. They decided they do not want a color revolution. They do not want a woke, sodomy-type government in Georgia. They do not want to be our friends, after all. And that's why, especially since their congressman passed a law in the United States, and is going to sanction them because we don't like the laws they passed. Who likes us? It's like if you're going to be our friends, we're going to tell you what to do, you know? So another thing...
if you want to be our friend, you have to lay down and let us put their boot on their neck.
On your neck.
Yeah.
So Iran and Saudi Arabia began talking friendly again this week. Saudi Arabia openly condemned Israel and said it would not be normalizing relations because of how Israel is treating the Palestinians.
Interesting how the Saudis are trying. The Saudis really are trapped between a rock and a very hard place. They're having to play both ends to one degree or another, depending on the issues. It's a very bad place for them to be. I wouldn't want to be there.
Well, the big issue for the Saudis is they don't want to be nuked by Israel, so they have to have an American base there. Saudi Arabia knows that Iran has no intention of invading them. That's all a lie. That's a lie they've been trying to sell the world since 1980. You know, who has Iran invaded since 1980? That's 44 years. Who have they invaded? Who? Nobody. Not a single country. Okay?
No, exactly.
So and Saudi Arabia knows this, Iraq knows this, Kuwait knows this, they all know this, okay? It's just the American people don't know that, so that we can buy into the narrative about the big evil boogeyman, Iran. Iran is a threat to Israel. It is not a threat to the United States of America. It is not a threat to the Sunni Arab nations, okay? So Israel said that it would...
Mitch, a question, please. When you see another statement out of the communist Bolshevik Zionists in Washington, D.C., pledging eternal support of Israel. How do you feel as a former U.S. serviceman who fought with great valor and distinction, risked his life many times? What the hell? They own us. I swear to God, it's like Israel owns us, and they laugh about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I took an oath to support the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and I liked that oath. And I was a Cold Warrior. I fought Marxism. But we're a Marxist country now, and, why are we defending Israel? There's no reason we should be defending Israel. None.
No.
At all.
None.
Zero.
Thank you.
All right. So, So anyways, Iran will retaliate against Israel at their leisure, and they've said so. What is going on? It looks like they are going to prepare for a big war in the Middle East. Russia is not in any danger of losing in Ukraine, so they can focus on preparing for war in the Middle East. So the global elites must decide what they want in November. If they pick Harris, it means a war with Russia and World War III. If they pick Trump, it means they will wait and build up resources for a war in the Middle East that will devolve into World War III. The question is, do we have a nuclear war within a year or within 4 years? Ultimately, it is not your call. You can go ahead and vote for Trump if you want some more time to get ready or spend more time with your family. They might let him win. Attorney General Merrick Garland said today that if there is a repeat of January 6th attempting to impede the peaceful change of power, he will arrest thousands. I have to laugh. I can see how this works. If Antifa and BLM burn the Capitol down and murder thousands of people, there will be no arrests. You can divine the truth from their lies. You can divine the truth from their lies because they are saying the opposite of the truth. So so let me get into some lies here in America, okay? Because this is the age of lies. The lies are in your face. They're lying to your face. They're telling obvious lies, okay? At the beginning of this year...
They're not even trying to use any stealth anymore. It's just blatant. They're just
No. If you remember, I started complaining several years ago about the very poor quality of the lies our government tells. Because with all the taxpayer money that we pay, we deserve better lies than we're getting, you know? At the beginning of this year, the government and media started telling us that we have the best economy in American history, even though everyone knows that it is not true. The average American is just scraping by. They're telling us this is prosperity we're living in. Biden has given us prosperity.
Right-o.
They told us that the Biden administration has achieved the most peaceful conditions in the Middle East since World War II. Although Israel was carpet bombing innocent civilians in the Gaza Strip and was in danger of going to war with Iran, which, if the Americans attacked Iran with the Israelis, would spiral into a thermonuclear war. Biden has brought us peace and stability in the Middle East, is what they tell us.
Okay? I mean, when I hear you repeating that kind of crap that comes over the screen, I want to just run away from this. It's horrible. Horrible.
Oh,
you're right. We deserve better lives. These are just disgusting.
Yeah, we do.
That's a good line.
So they told us that our border was secure. The people coming in were political refugees and not economic refugees.
Right.
We have no choice but to admit them on humanitarian grounds. This was most people entering the United States in our history. In fact, this is the biggest immigration into our country. This is security that the Biden administration has provided for us. They told us that crime has gone down under Biden, when it is obvious that criminals have impunity to steal and rob. But that is called reparations by the administration. Like the economy, the average American can see that crime is out of control.
Right.
This is law and order that we have, thanks to the Bidens, okay? At the beginning of the year, they said Kamala Harris was more unpopular than Joe Biden. They said Joe Biden was more popular than Trump. Indeed, I met very few people that had any respect for Biden and less for the cackling Kamala. They were talking about Biden getting another running mate to boost his popularity. Then in July, Biden debated Trump, and it was hard to deny that he was a demented old idiot. Next, they tried to assassinate Trump so that the idiot Biden could have a plausible deniability to win. The Secret Service and FBI screwed up the assassination. The lying that they did in the cover-up was lying in your face. Quality of lying. They were pathetic lies.
Right.
So that meant that in order to convince Americans that the Democrats would win, Biden bowed out and let Kamala Harris run. They argued, and this is after they wanted to dump her as vice president, as a running mate. Now she's going to be popular. They argued that all women will vote for Kamala because she is a woman and because she will protect abortion. Even though not all women would vote for somebody just because they were a woman, that is insulting towards women. Not all women want to murder their babies, so it is demeaning towards women to insinuate that they all do. Plus, all people of color will vote for Harris because she is a person of color, which is an insult to all people of color, because some of them have a brain. In their mind, they think this can justify a landslide election for Harris, a supermajority. She will be the most popular president ever in history, although all of us know that that's not true. In watching comments about the Democratic National Convention, the media keeps praises on Harris and says that she is wildly popular. So why disable comments and thumbs down indicators? For creating inflation, for creating taxation, is climate change. That is the millstone under which the people in this world will be impoverished. Okay,
yeah.
Because we have to invest in all these infrastructure and everything, which is totally unnecessary. Totally, completely unnecessary. It's a lie. It's a false religion that everybody believes in. And listen, Russia and China, they at least speak up about it, even if they don't practice it so much. They do act like, oh, yes, we believe in the religion of climate change.
These are all hallmarks, so to speak, of the genocide that's underway. The lies are outrageous.
Oh, yeah.
They're the worst lies, easily disproven, and yet they keep ramming them down the people's throats because they're addicted to their screens and they run it through the mainstream media, or they're flunkies and servants on the alt-news side of the ledger. And believe me, the alt-news world is being run from the top to the bottom. Very few exceptions.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's I still see some people that at least tell some snippets of truth. Tucker Carlson is pretty good about just telling you the way things are. Okay, he's not covering for anybody. Okay,
no.
I just see Tulsi Gabbard. She basically tells the truth. I mean, that she's speaking her mind and stuff. But you see, these people, Tucker Carlson and Tulsi Gabbard, they have intelligence. They have.
But you can see them thinking.
They have
vision.
Watch them thinking. They have vision. Yes. They have forethought. They have analysis. They can figure things out. And both of them have gravitas. Okay, they're serious people. We would never elect somebody like that to lead any country in this world. We want the person with the least intelligence, the least vision, forethought. I mean, listen, even Trump, does he have vision and forethought? No, he doesn't. Does he have gravitas? He does not. I mean, I've seen people ask him questions where he had an opportunity to really go in there and explain himself and make some sense. And
right.
He just peters out. He's shallow. He doesn't have a depth of thinking. See, Tucker and Tulsi Gabbard can think deeply. He cannot.
What he does is
parrots the popular. You know?
Right. The word is, with to speak of.
No, Kelsey, he does not.
Yes, she's got wisdom. Wisdom is gained through a life experience that is very diverse and not always comfortable. That gives you wisdom. I'm keeping it simple. Tucker has wisdom from a different background.
Sure.
I mean, a real ticket would have been Tucker Carlson, Tulsi Gabbard. Think about it. Tucker and Tulsi.
Oh, yeah.
There's a ticket.
Definitely. Now, listen to this. So here's what would make some sense. If Trump was a serious person, if he wins, Tulsi Gabbard would be Secretary of State or Secretary of Defense. Tucker Carlson would be Secretary of State or something like that, okay? These are serious people, and I will tell you right now that they have got no hope of getting into that position, okay? It's Trump said, well, he would make Elon Musk like an advisor or something like that.
Yeah.
The only thing Elon Musk has going for him is he says what's on his mind. Okay, so that's what's good for him. He doesn't necessarily understand the workings of the world or anything. Okay. Not like a Tucker or Gabbard does. Okay.
No, I completely
so,
agree.
So, that's why I say if Harris gets in, we'll be in the nuclear war within a year. We're pushing Russia. We're just pushing them. They're gonna slap us back eventually. Okay. It's just that the longer Russia waits, the weaker we will be. Okay.
Well, they've almost looted our entire armory. We have very little munitions left. It's all been expended in Ukraine, much of it. We just don't have it. We're years behind in manpads, surface-to-air missile protection, years behind in artillery rounds, 4 or 5 years. So you're not going to get caught up like that. I don't know.
But our stuff is so old. Listen, it was. I remember back in the 80s in the Army in my unit, we'd have some red eyes. Those are like the old man pads. This is man portable air defense weapons. Okay. Yeah. And then they, by the time of the Mujahideen in Afghanistan fighting the Soviets, that's when we came out with the Stinger. And guess what our top of the line anti aircraft weapon still is? The Stinger.
Stinger. And guess what our newest built ICBM right now is? 50-year-old. 50-year-old in our silos. We have Minuteman 3s. That's it. 50 years.
And we're not going to produce the new ones until 5 years from now.
Okay. Oh, no, they're talking about canceling the program because of money. We have to keep sending our money to Israel and Ukraine. Uh-huh.
Yeah, we do. I mean, that's what's important, right? So I'm being facetious, but they have no vision, no forethought. It's like the Russian submarines. The Russians have been up in their technology on the submarines. You know, they've been working hard to get ahead on their nuclear weapons, their submarines, on all their weapons. I see these articles where they say, oh, our F-16s can kick any Russian aircraft's butt.
Please. I do not think so.
You see what these Russian aircraft can do. I don't see any American aircraft that can do that, So, and they try to act like our electronics, our avionics and stuff is so much better than Russia's. Well, this has never been true. Russia has the best electronics in the world. They've had for a long time. They can jam our stuff. We can't jam all their stuff, but they can jam everything we have.
Remember the jet that went by the USS Donald Cook? I believe it was in the Black Sea. And it flew past. It was some Russian jet, a Su something SU. And the entire, from what I've read, the entire USS Donald Cook, a destroyer, became dead in the water. The jet literally had some kind of a jamming or defeating electronic warfare device that shut that ship down. It was toast. And the pilot flew right next to the ship, and he apparently laughed or something. They were watching him. And then he flew by one more time, saluted, flew away, and the ship came back to life. USS Donald Cook. Look it up.
So listen to this. 15 years ago, you could go to Russia. If you had the money, you could go to Russia. And this is not prohibitively expensive. We're talking about in the neighborhood of $5,000 to $10,000. You could get in an SU-35 and go to outer space. That can take off from an airfield on Earth and get you into outer space within half an hour.
The Su-35 can do that. I didn't know this. That's fascinating.
It will fly to outer space. You are up there in the darkness with this thing.
Yeah.
Okay, now they can't stay there very long, but, you know. Now, can you get in an F-16 and do that? Or an F-35?
That's ridiculous.
You know, I mean, why do we listen to these people? And they're telling us we have the best military in the world. We do not. We're behind.
We've been disarmed.
We are behind India.
Yes.
We are behind India in some of our weapon systems, okay?
Well, that Brahmos missile system is supposed to be first world class, first stuff.
Yes, it's world class. It's good. It's good. Yeah. People are buying them. Vietnam buys them to as anti-ship missiles to protect themselves from the Chinese, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. They are good. You know, I wonder when Iran is going to give some to the Houthis over there.
It's just a matter of time. If the American aircraft carriers put themselves in harm's way, I think they're going to be harmed very seriously.
Oh, I think so, too. So
this is important.
Yeah.
Another issue that people have forgotten about. 3-4 years ago, maybe 5, the government, the alleged government here, was buying billions of rounds of 5.56, 9mm, and whatever else. They were buying billions of rounds. The Treasury Department was buying hundreds of millions of rounds of ammunition, and no one has ever figured out why. Well, anyway,
a lot of that was 22 caliber ammunition. Well, one reason why, Jeff, is to drive the price of ammunition up. They wanted to take ammunition away from the people, and then of course there's a lag time once the companies start making more ammunition. It'll take them 5 to 10 years to amp up production.
Right.
But then they have to charge. You know, I mean, I used to buy bricks of 500 rounds of 22 ammo for $15 or $13, and you can't touch one now for less than 50. Okay. Why does the Treasury Company use 22? Why does the Treasury Department use 22 caliber bullets? That's for small game hunting,
right,
Jeff?
I read something yesterday about 22 cal. They have a new round. It's in other words, this is a new paradigm in 22 caliber ammunition. It's faster, has more impact. I don't know what the feet per second on it is, but this is, they're raving about this as being a really breakthrough round. Well, if you think about it, our 223 round, which is our standard combat round, is really 22 caliber, just with a hell of a big charge of powder behind it. It's .223.
Great.
Go ahead.
So, to get foot pound, the force something hits with is a thing of the mass of the bullet times the velocity. So, if they can make it go faster, it's more powerful. Okay.
Right. Right.
So you can put a smaller bullet, but a lot more powder behind it, and it'll still have a forceful impact and stuff. So,
yeah. Well, there's a new gen out of 22, and it's supposed to be exactly that. I couldn't give you the name yet. I saw a story on it yesterday somewhere.
Okay. Well, let me cover real quick how to avoid violence. This is preparation for the war. So this is like escape and evasion. So before the Civil War, World War III begins, you need to scout out the area outside the city that you are going to run to. Ideally, there should be a forest today. Trees are food. Even out west, you can find forests at high elevations and along rivers and streams. Trees conceal you. Remember, out of sight, out of mind. Yeah. If you can be seen, you can be hit. And don't attract attention to yourself. In the east, there are forests along rivers and streams, even in farm country. Consider national forests. An area with as few people as possible is best. Remember that the competition for resources will be fierce after civilization falls. Right. In the west, it is easier to find remote and sparsely populated areas, but water is scarce. And water is next importance to the air that we breathe in priorities for survival. It is in the east, there is more water, but there is also a lot more people. They put most of our ICBMs, strategic nuclear bases, and nuclear stockpiles in the west, so not many people would be killed in a nuclear attack. On the other hand, when nuclear targets are hit in the east, the casualties will be much higher. Some places are going to get hit because of their importance to our war-fighting capabilities. Washington, D.C. will obviously be a target since it is the command and control center. New York City is a target since it's the finance center. Chicago will be a target since it is the food distribution center. Houston will be a target since it is the center of fuel and energy production and distribution. In other words, the empty West will not have its population relatively reduced while the East will. When you are selecting an area to run to, try and be realistic. Try to get it within a few hours of where you live now. If you go right away when the wars break out, the more likely you will be able to make it to your spot unimpeded. You must take advantage of the initial shock. Most people, the normies, will wait in place for some kind of rescue that will never come. They will be victims. If you leave right away, you stand a better chance.
Hold on, Mitch. You made a very good point there. The best time to make your move is while shock is everywhere.
Right.
Don't wait.
That's right. Right. The victims will wait. If you leave right away, you stand a better chance of getting out of the city. Just pack your individual go bag and your vehicle go bag and go.
No chance for the roadblocks to be set up real quick. You can beat that if you move.
Right. Exactly. If you already have a hunting cabin or a vacation home in the woods, go there if it is in a very rural area. That can be a rallying point for you, your family, and your friends. If not, your vehicle will be your new home when you park it in the woods. You'll have to drive it off the road and into the forest. You'll need a large camouflage tarp to cover it. If you can get a large camouflage net to cover it with, that is even better. Once you park in the woods, you will need to use shadows and vegetation to conceal your position. Park under a tree, not out in the open. There may be people using drones to look for you. Don't make it easy for them to find you. You should not park on any road or trail. People follow these, and you will be too easy to find. When you pull under a tree to make your camping position, make sure you clean up the tracks so no one will follow them to you. Park far enough away from a trail or road so that you will not be noticed from the road. Forget about trying to travel in your vehicle as a way to survive. Fuel will quickly become unavailable. Also, you are a very easy target in a vehicle. You can easily be located, and you will be very easy to ambush if you are in a vehicle on a road. When the war breaks out, you will have a window of opportunity to get out of the city and get out into the country before people, gangs, and governments will start boxing you in. In your vehicle go bag, you will need some pioneering and engineering tools. Engineering is all about mobility, countermobility, and survivability. Mobility is about clearing obstacles to your movement. Countermobility is about making your opponent's mobility more difficult. Right. Survivability is about shelter from natural and man-made hazards. You will need axes to cut trees and bow saws to do the same. You will need picks and shovels to get your vehicles unstuck. You will need at least a hand winch to winch yourself out of a ditch. Because you might have to fight to get out of the city, you will need grappling hooks, scaling rope, rappelling rope, and snap links. If you live in mountainous area, you could use this equipment also, especially if there are cliffs. They could give you an advantage if you're being pursued. You will also need burglary tools so you can get into abandoned buildings to get supplies. These include sledgehammers, bolt cutters, crowbars, channel locks to open lock doorknobs, and wire cutters. Also, think about the tools that you might need to improve your position when you park your car in the woods. Hopefully, you can spend some time in the place that you have selected to park your car, but inevitably, other people may discover your position, and you may have to flee. Once you have settled in, keep your personal go bag intact in case you must leave in a hurry. Also, select gear that you will need or find helpful in your environment and have it ready to take with you. Remember, your goal is to survive. Consequently, you'll have to assess whether you will defend where you are against a few people or withdraw if there are too many people against you. Once you have set up your camp, you need to camouflage it. You need to dig fighting positions that are camouflaged and clear bushes on the avenues of approach so that others cannot sneak up on you and so you can hit them with gunfire. You must also be prepared to withdraw, so find and develop covered and concealed escape routes from your camp. Find places away from your camp that you can use as rallying points in case your family or friends get separated during the withdrawal. The rallying points should have some cover against enemy gunfire. Get to know the area that you are in well. Knowing the terrain gives you an edge over your enemy. Set up tripwires with noisemakers outside your perimeter to alert you to someone coming into your area. Take the string with you because you are unlikely to find any when you need it. Put some in your personal gun go bag. Once again, the key to avoiding violence is to not be seen. If no one knows you are there, they can't bother you. Wear camouflage clothing that is appropriate for your environment. Make sure that all your equipment matches your environment. Don't have any bright or flashy colors that attract attention. Have flat paint to throw on your vehicle so that it matches the environment, as well as camouflage covers for the windows. A large camouflage tarp is best to cover the whole thing. Camouflage nets that you can stick vegetation in is also helpful because it helps disguise the shape of your vehicle. Take all this in your vehicle go bag. Practice noise and light discipline. Do not talk on the radio if you can avoid it. Your radio can be found with radio direction finders. Who has those? Lots of people. I have one. They are inexpensive. Do you need one? Well, it could be handy if you see if anyone is nearby. But once again, the goal is survival, not a military operation to attack the other people. That is expensive to do in resources. In your personal go bag, take camouflage sticks or compacts. You can buy ghillie suits to hide yourself. Yes, all of this slows you down, but you're not going on a forced march. You are trying to stay alive. Have tools in your personal go bag that you can use to cut materials from your environment to cover yourself with. Learn to improvise and to make it work for you. If you're in a desert or open prairie, get a space blanket from Walmart and sew the correct colored cloth over the orange side that matches your environment. This gives you some concealment in the open. It has the added benefit that it can defeat thermal sights. When I worked vice on the Tampa Police Department back in the 1980s, people growing marijuana in their house would line the walls of their grow room with these to defeat government agents who would drive around the neighborhoods with thermal sights to try to spot the heat from the hot lamps used.
Got it.
In the grow rooms.
Yeah.
I never knew anybody who used these space blankets to shield from thermal sights to get caught by that method. So never knew anybody that used those that got caught.
Much of what Mitch talks about will be in his new book. Tell us the status of the book right now. Where are we?
Well, I'm editing it right now. I think probably within a week I may have it edited, and then I'll ship it off, and then it just has to be formatted and published. That's it. So
all right, very good.
It's close.
Yeah, good. All right. Well, thank you again for everything. All the words of wisdom, how to survive. Don't be seen. Disappear. Vanish as much as you can. That's all very good advice. It's all there. Thank you, Mitch. Talk to you next week, I hope.
Okay. Sounds good. Yeah, I think we'll be here in next week.
Okay.
Right. We got a little bit of time. Okay. A little bit.
Got it. Okay. So, thanks, Mitch.
Okay. Thank you. You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye. And great information. Really invaluable. Thank you for being here. And crazy, the power is still off at the studios out here in the West. Been hours. Crazy. Talk to you tomorrow night. 21 hours. Take care.
Free commercial-free crystal clear 56-bit digital sound and take these often unforgettable programs with them wherever they go. As a subscriber, you can also listen live at airtime, online, anywhere in the world, or browse through our archives of over 6,000 hours of legendary broadcasts. Subscribe now by taking the link at the top of Rents.com and enrich your mind with the most unique panorama of vital information and the best independent, honest journalism in radio. Look for the Subscribe Now link on Rents.com and give yourself the knowledge you need for these unprecedented times. You're listening to the Rents Radio Network, nationwide and worldwide on the net and at Rents.com.